Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our show this week. We are so happy that you can join us. And we're going to be answering some questions that we hope will be of interest to you. And I've asked Paul St. John, before he takes off to Canada, to assist us with our show. Paul, welcome and thank you for preparing these questions for us.
My pleasure, Almeen. My first question for this week is a question about density. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what density actually is.
Yes, and you know, the interesting thing of it is we just on our last, on one of our previous shows, we mentioned the fact that density can be two different things, but I'd like to actually add something that it can be three different things.
Okay.
And the result of that is because we've had transmissions come out of the sacred libraries that have recently opened in Israel. And those transmissions that came out of there, the guardians of those libraries are angel gods, which is quite a rare thing to find, but they are angel gods. And they have been giving us a lot of information on density that has certainly expanded my definition of it. Density we could have defined as that which is what mother is not, that which is what father is not. In other words, that which is impure, and in that it does not reveal actual reality and its perfection that mother and father have created as a mirror of their own pure beings. An example of that would be someone chooses to damage and injure their neighbor. That is what mother and father are not. And that can be called density. So that's number one. But density also, in fact, I have my notes here with me from some of the transmissions that came through from Mount Sinai, because it's the Falcon libraries that are there. Because I was working on it just yesterday, so hold on a second. Okay, they say in a prophecy, in a transmission that came from the angel gods of the Falcon libraries of Mount Sinai, they say, in the future, a problem we see, in that the cosmos will be inundated with density. Density, it is assumed, is that which mother is not, that it is also a pattern that is obsolete, must not be forgotten. The trillions of cells have slumbered and slept in old patterns as mind at rest. Now, see, here's an interesting thing. We have, in past times, we have spoken about the fact that the cosmos is a reflection of a single cell of mother. That cell happens to be what scientists call the life cell, which either will excrete eternal life hormone or not, inside the pineal gland. Mother's one cell there has a corresponding cell in her heart. They pulse together, at least they should, and they until recently didn't, and then mother understood that they needed to pulse. But recently, a massive transition happened when mother opened up the matrix, the fishbowl in which we have dwelt, and said that now the cosmos will also be created by all of ourselves that are like the projectors making reality. But what they are saying is a warning to her, and that she put this warning for them to keep so she would remember. That the trillions of cells have slumbered and slept in old patterns as mind at rest. Mother will command that the one cell's frequency must rise, but density will in the other cells, higher realms, reside. Now Let's look at what they're saying. See, we frequently think that if something's in a higher realm, it has less density. In other words, it's more pure. It's absolutely not the case. It could be, but it could not be. Frequency is what determines what realm you're in, whether you're very etheric or very physical, not how pure or impeccable you are. And that has made man often feel very inferior because he's at the bottom of the density level. That has nothing to do with his evolution versus someone else's that's three octaves up. So they're saying that mother will make the one cell's frequency go higher and so move it into the realm where the other cells are. But these cells have been like mind at rest for eons of existence, while only the one cell has been making its individuations in the form of the cosmos, and so they have old patterns. So now here, a major part of what is density comes out. It's the holding of old patterns that are obsolete. Now, Mother writes in the Book of the One Life that which determines her inner reality, and as she does that, the movie on the screen changes. So the next part that they give us from Mount Sinai is they say, written in the Book of the One Life must be that all cells must assume the highest purity. When one cell is purified, they all must adjust, no matter their frequency, to continuously purify they must. Now hear our words and listen well. The angel gods of Mount Sinai have a secret to tell. As each part of the brain corresponds to the heart, so each cell itself has a counterpart. The cosmos was formed from mother's single cell, but that cell has a counterpart cell in her heart as well. Of all the cells, the cosmic cell, the most proactive has been. In other words, the one cell in her pineal gland from which we have been all individuated projections, if you will, has been the most active. So its opposite cell, therefore overpolarized into inactivity, has been. So far into stagnation, this heart cell has gone, that it's become as though ill. It's the only one. Mother must heal it, that ill health may cease, that with the cosmic cell, it balanced will be. Thus we deliver the secrets to assist. Magic we have too, but this must come first. When the libraries of Mount Sinai and Horeb, too, are opened again, peace in this land will ensue. 50 our numbers, we have withstood the test of keeping the faith, of fulfilling our quest. By the holy language of the Father's tongue are we called the names of everyone. We wait until all libraries are there. Then our contribution to the goddess's wheels, which is a very magical body of information that's slowly, slowly dribbling in, that is for man to be able to materialize perfection. We share. Our hearts rejoice that you are here, that the reign of the mother is finally near. And they've given me the most beautiful sigils. They're like symbols, but they're more like little roadmaps, if you will, of their names, at least the first 25 of them. No, they gave all 50. And their names are in the Father's holy language. And I'll give you just five of them, for instance. Sorakblut, Tafkanan, Tralifkan, Muhesne, Hurne, Mahirle, Bralikstik. They actually roll their R's, so it would be Sorak, Sorak. I can't do it very well, but it's a rolled R like the French do it. Sorak, Torakstra, Hurne, Mahirle, Bralikstik, Tivalan, Slaverne, Talikbru, Sorak, Soraknan, Ruhesne, like that. Beautiful, beautiful language.
Yeah.
So, Paul, I have another revelation that came through, and this came from Mount Horeb. And until this came through, I only had basically those two definitions of density. But this is another form of density that they bring their secret about, because what we are about right now is, since the middle of February, the quest has been to remove density. Between August of 2006 and February of 2008, what was done until then was the removal of duality and polarity and linear time. Now we're removing density. So density is going to continue to reveal facets of itself. If you ask me this a couple of shows down the road, and I hope you can even be on our show when you're on the road to Canada, but if you're not, you know, we'll have to remember that this will continue to change. Shall I give the transmission from Horeb?
Yes, that's great.
From the Libraries of the Dog. On the mount known as Horeb, long did we wait. Guardians of holy libraries, we let none through their gates. Many the power of their presence could feel. Many the entrances for their own gain did seek. At the command of the mother and the father's words, spoken in languages never before heard. I think it was last week, remember, that we spoke about the fact that there was a new language for mother and father?
Yes, it was.
Did we? Yeah. The libraries open like a rose in bloom, and the land shall flourish, and the people too. We say to the mother, for we were meant to remind. See, she left these reminders with the libraries so that she would do things in the correct order. To write in the holy book to purify her eyes. That which was part of lower realities, that now is not serving, may be forgotten, though seen. In other words, impurity can also be memories. You know how all of us, I had a sister, this is one of the incredible Oracle Masters from Ireland, write to me to say that somebody showed her this awful pornographic thing on her, really horrible, on her cell phone, and she just wished she could undo what she saw, because it like haunted her. Sometimes in movies we see scenes like that if we are not careful about what we watch. The memories of impure things seen and heard is also a form of impurity. So they say...
Of density.
Of density. There we go. So they say that which was part... Okay, the cells of the memories all must be cleaned. All be removed that taints her purity. Now another secret entrusted to us long before, of another imperfection that must be restored. Now this is another place, places where there's been trauma, where the umbilical cord is of a child newly born, a vortex that drains energy as over ages formed, in its place that the nurturing of a mother represents. A repository of self-nurturing should be present. Let all be nurtured by this ever-present supply. Within all beings let a feeling of nurturing reside, that deep satisfaction may fill all hearts. From the peace within, external peace starts. What they're saying is where we've seen impure things, those cellular memories have to be cleansed. Where trauma has happened, because I know that when mother put this in the book about filling the vortex that has occurred around our belly button area where the umbilical cord was cut, that be filled with a pocket of self-nurturing. She also did work on circumcision, and she also actually did work on her ears, that which she has heard that's impure be removed from her ears, from the ages of density gone by. But the cellular memory where trauma has happened, such as circumcision, such as the umbilical cord cut, etc., surgery that has happened, injuries, those areas, mother has proclaimed that in the Book of the One Life that all the areas of trauma must have their cellular memories repatterned into that which is. And of course, that which is blissful and joyful.
Wow. Thank you, Almeen. That's that's a very in-depth look at density.
But yes, it is. And I would imagine it's really going to be the topic. I don't know how long it will last, but at least this year. And because of that that's the primary thing that's being cleansed in the cosmos.
Wow.
Paul, you know, I think we better take a quick break. Let's take our first commercial break, and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We're glad you're back with us again. And Paul, what else did you want to discuss? Is there more about density that you wanted us to talk about?
Well, in fact, there is, Almeen. In the last section of the show, you explained three different definitions of density. And I thought it was interesting that in none of those definitions was anything even remotely close to what my understanding of density was. So I thought we'd maybe just address that, because I think that maybe a lot of people think of density in the way I have to some extent, which is really simply just how closely packed the quantum particles are, or literally how physically dense something is. So I was wondering if that was another definition, or if it was something else.
Really, we're lacking the correct words.
Mm.
Because we don't have really another good word for that. Yet,
right.
You see, and that is where a major, major problem has come in. Because it has put such a burden of guilt on humanity about how unworthy flesh is and all the rest of it, you see. Because
right.
Flesh is dense. We know that per our word. But then density implies impurity.
Yeah.
And so it is therefore, you know, if B is A and C is A, then B equals C. So we deduce from that, listen, to be this dense must be this impure. But they are two entirely different concepts. And, you know, if we take a look at this, what density's true definition is patterns that are held in existence that trap that which is non-life enhancing at this moment. See, something that's life enhancing at this moment may be tomorrow's density.
Right.
But at this moment, if there's a pattern of life, of existence, that is trapping that which is obsolete and no longer in this moment life-enhancing, it is density. That is not the definition for physical density. Physical density, the pattern of how densely packed the particles are, has to do with the song that the building blocks of existence are singing. Because the song of the building blocks of existence, if you look at the note C on the piano, let's say you're at middle C with physical density, then you're one C up, you know, which is the second last space, if you will, in the five, between the five lines of your right hand when you start to play piano when you're a little girl or a little boy. The second last space, that is a C. That C would be, for instance, the equivalent of the spirits that are living among us, where our worlds are just an octave apart. The C is still a C, but it is an octave removed. If you go all the way up the piano, you may all get very high up there to angel gods or whatever, but the point is it's just a matter of where the note is played. And it has nothing to do with the purity level.
Right. That's so incredible. That's so, I think, relevant to so many people.
It's incredible. And see, I did not understand this till these transmissions started coming out of Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, of those two libraries that opened there.
Wow. And I'm thinking about how relevant it is when we consider your revelation that all existence stems from the densest, from the physical. And then it's really quite interesting because it shows the terms are almost, the two ways that the term density is used are almost opposite in nature. Because ultimately what stems from the densest, the physical, is that which is the most pure. If everything started from mother's two cells, that's literally the most pure. So to think of density then as impurity was the exact opposite.
I know. It's very sad how language can be misleading, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And you know, Paul, as you say that, I'm seeing an image. And what it has been, as creation has developed, we have been going up the piano. Like an arpeggio, you know, an arpeggio is like you play do, mi, so, do, instead of do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do, you play do, mi, so, do. We've been going up the piano in terms of creation when all these diverse life forms were made in an arpeggio all the way up into the high notes. What happened this week is extraordinary. Mother, you know, the beings that have lived on in the inner earth and in secrets of the hidden realms, I've given detailed maps and numbers of population and types of population groups and so on that live in the inner earth. The inner earth beings actually are one octave, will have been one octave above us. Do you know that in the last week, because Mother has removed the membrane that she placed, and she placed this, I believe, around the end of 2005. She placed a membrane to seal off the inner earth because of corruption, and she placed a membrane to seal off the outer earth from the inner earth because of corruption. In other words, she sort of put them in quarantine, both areas. There's tunnels that go in between. The membrane on the inner earth was removed early last week. Then the membrane on the outer earth was removed. The giants brought a key for that. And then Mother opened the tunnel in between the two. There's a tunnel that comes out on the side of Mount Shasta that has like three large chambers and tunnel that connects these chambers. And she opened the tunnel. And then she called a delegation of 300 from the inner earth to come out and to go to a very specific destination. And so Mother has called them. This is already happening. But what she first did is she lowered the note of our etheric representatives on earth, which is the inner earth people. She lowered their note to be the same middle sea that we are. So that when they come out of the tunnel, they're physical. We can touch them. We can hold them. We can shake their hands and we can see them. It feels to me, now I am conjecturing wildly here, please don't take this as gospel.
Okay.
It feels to me that that arpeggio is starting to come down the piano.
Wow.
That the next octave up from middle C has just been moved into middle C. And that the next possibly will come down again, and the next will come down. And finally, we will all see physical fairies, physical elves. I don't know how many years that will take, but that is what it seems to me is happening. The reason I say that is because of lines through a dot. The people representing the Earth's etheric body became physical. Mother brought her more etheric bodies into her physical body. And Mother brought etheric building block particles into physical particles. It seems to me that the arpeggio is moving back down. We're going to end up at one note.
Wow. That's incredible, Almeen. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, too, of how good news that is for light workers. When I remember in one of your books you mentioned how a lot of light workers have their partners in Middle Earth. So imagine it'll be much more conducive to a relationship if they're physical.
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
It's very interesting. I look forward to actually going to Mount Shasta and maybe finding that spot.
Well,
hopefully
maybe
going.
You can. Why not? I mean, it is definitely shielded. But if you ask Mother and you have the courage to go through it, then you ask her to unshield it for you.
That's
and
great.
We have the sigils that open the doors.
Wow.
And there's a chant that opens the doors.
I'll have to make sure to get that from you before we
do. Oh, it's amazing. my gosh, let me see if I can remember it. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think I might have written it down, but I had to say the chant, but it had a very, very specific melody that the chant went according to. Let me see how to say it. Shall we try it, just for the
sure.
heck of it?
Sure.
Okay. Aniki e yo way, e kona e o way e ocho. Ene klu e eno e ona we kona e zu e yo awe e azu e kocha e kana e tu ananatvi e tu e na o ana e kana i a e kana i a e zu e zu e zu e tona i a e klu i ona e shwe ana ti e ona klu ana we mita ana e o e ona i e ona ki i e shwe i.
Wow, that was great.
That's the Arunatsi.
That's how you're going out on a limb.
The Anunnaki are the keepers of the Nazca libraries, as we've mentioned before. The library that's designated by the baby condor and the flower. And the Anunnaki, there were some of them that slumbered in the Serpent Mound. And the Order of the Serpent Mound, which is this very sacred order that guards that, one of the masters there is an oracle, and she received this chant from them. And I had to say the chant out in the physical, and it was, in fact, to open the doors. of the tunnel through Mount Shasta.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that with us, Elmeen.
You're most welcome.
Well, I thought I would ask something that came up when you were speaking. You mentioned the wheels that were being the wheels of mother and father that were coming through to help with the power to manifest. And I think that maybe the wheels themselves we can discuss, that's a large topic to maybe discuss on a later show. But the question it brought up for me was related to manifestation. A lot of people seem to have a certain notion of what masters are in their minds when we think about enlightened masters and immortal masters, especially here on Earth when we talk about them being in the flesh now. And I just wanted to get some explanation from you a little bit, maybe expand our understanding of what a master is, because people have many notions, particularly for one, that a master always is in control of his or her emotions. And also, more directly related to my question, that a master is someone who can very tangibly manipulate particularly physical matter, but also time and space and energy. So I just wondered if you could share your thoughts on the difference between perhaps these masters, these images of masters that have come through all sorts of teachings, particularly masters of old, like from the East, who've been able to perform these sorts of miracles, and the masters who are becoming more and more prevalent in the world today, who are living daily lives, working 9-to-5 jobs, and maybe you could talk about their relationship.
Okay, and it's a complex theme that you've tackled, but
yes.
I'll try and sort a few layers, and then
okay.
If I miss the layers, you know, we can take the rest of the show on this if we want to.
Sure.
See, now, first of all, what I'm asking you here is why have there been masters that have done all these massive miracles, and now masters can be our dental assistant, and we don't know it? You know, well, let's just look at that. The density that we've just discussed as true density, where people are still clinging to old patterns, they make it very hard for them to see what is happening in front of their eyes. In the book, and I think it is Secrets of the Hidden Realms, I spoke about miracles that had happened in front of people. And, you know, I used to think that if I just do enough miracles in front of them, they will be convinced. And that will get their left brain to let go, and I'll be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish with them, which is to push them into the place where they no longer identify with thought as that little tyrant that runs their life. And so, you know, I would perform things in front of people with that intent. I gave some examples in that book of how totally the left brain will discount miracles that happen. People levitating right off the table, where we're all standing around, but people cannot see it. That's the exact moment they will make sure their eyes are closed, or that they're bending down to tie their shoe, or they're looking at their notes to see if they missed writing something down. That's the exact moment that their mind will make them not see it, because of the fact that it doesn't want to lose control. The other thing that I found, so in other words, there was two things. A, they didn't see it, or sometimes they saw it. Like, there was a massive dragon fight around my house. Pans and pots were flying off the wall. We had blue lightning going on around the house, thuds of tails beating, and all sorts of things. Well, they saw it, all of them. I was not aware. But a month later, they were saying to me, show us a miracle. Because of the fact that they'd already forgotten that it was a miracle. It had just become relegated to, oh, it's just some experience. So we have three problems with people noting miracles. Number one, they either won't acknowledge or see it. Number two, when they do, it soon is not a miracle any longer. We live miracles day by day by day. They don't seem like miracles to me. They seem like my life. It's easy for miracle to become ordinary when it's just part of what happened, a week's experience, for instance. And then the third thing is that I noted in the early stages of my work, I did a lot of miracles. And in those stages, almost everyone that saw major miracles ended up turning on me. And the reason is that their left brain was so terrified to let go of it that they would rather turn on me and find some flaw in me. I remember somebody that had a whole additional part of their husband's body formed to save his life, because she called me to do a miracle. I did it. An anatomical piece formed that wasn't there before. Doctors verified it to save his life. And because she felt that I had a bad tone in my voice, months later, she has totally turned on me and pulled many others with her. Okay, so what was the lesson in that? The lesson is that the left brain will attack anything that is undescribable or that is not logical, so it cannot control it. So it's not the preferred route to go, became pretty clear. Secondly, at this point, what I prefer is to have the students do the miracles. And they do. I mean, yesterday the article from Toronto contacted me to say that, you know, she pulled a burning pot off the stove, hands totally burnt, did the Belvaspitar healing on the hand. She was on the phone with one of the other masters. They were walking her through it. Within seconds, the pain was entirely gone. There's marks of burn on her hands, healing very rapidly, zero pain. Well, you know, she's doing the miracle. This for me is much better. So it's the conducive environment that the older masters had. They did it in temples. That was a place where people expected to see miracles. So they came ready for it. You know, here it's happening in the course of the day. It's happening over the lunch table, at the coffee stand, or whatever. And people's minds just take it as commonplace. So there's that. We were in Toronto together when during my lunch hour I went and did mother's work and was not available out in my little room when people came to get me. The whole group knows about it. Yet you know how people turned when one dismantled their identities and belief systems, which were very cozy prison bars.
Yes.
You know, if Christ disappeared in front of people trying to stone him, it goes down in the scriptures. We're creating scriptures every day. But how many people are noticing?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first part of it. And, you know, I think we should take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and do a little bit more, okay?
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore. the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Al Amin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our third segment. And Paul, shall we continue a little bit further with that, do you think?
That would be great, Almine.
Okay, well, we're talking about the miracles that ancient masters seemed to do. And so let's look a little further about that. These miracles, as we said in our previous section, they are being done, but are we seeing them? Now, there is another thing that we need to look at. Power is accumulated every time an insight is gained. When somebody listens to one of these shows and it changes their reality, everything inside shifts from a lower order to a higher order, releasing power at their disposal. Now, what I want to ask you, where would you, for example, it's a rhetorical question, of course, but where would you like to put your power? The major thrust of ascension, of bringing in this golden reign and era on Earth, and continually to moving into more and more purified and rarefied forms of living on Earth. It requires that all major light workers, all pivot points on Earth, push the envelope. They push the boundaries of reality. They make major changes within themselves. They use that power to gain perception to make those changes. Now, in A Life of Miracles, I've made a careful study as to the difference between perception seekers and power seekers. Power seekers are entirely content to become masters in working with, say, the spirit world. You know, the spirit world, excuse me, there is vast, vast, vast octaves of life out there. There are beings out there we've never even heard of, but they're far, several octaves above the spirit world, and they're waiting for us because it's in the physical where all new information is gathered. It's here where we have this priceless opportunity to not just get from the unknown, which is perhaps the spirit world, a bit of information that they know that we think we don't, but in fact, to create a new form of life, because we're not focusing on what we can do. We're focusing on how far we can see. If we have power at our disposal as masters, and we stand together to move that envelope a bit further, what that creates is purity on earth? Would we rather create purity on earth or, you know, or do some disappearing trick? It's inconceivable that that is where the power should be going to. And see, the other thing too is that the reality laws have changed. It was for me a lot easier to understand how to make things physical, how to create something that's physical from nothing, because I had the laws pretty well down, you know, by the time I wrote Journey to the Heart of God. I had those laws down. I say in there how you materialize an apple. It has changed because we are so rapidly ascending because the masters, with purity and devotion to the interconnectedness of life rather than their own abilities, are thrusting that power into gaining more and more insight and perception. And as a result, laws of reality are day by day changing. What you manifested there, that way, is not going to manifest today in the same way. It might even change again by tomorrow. So you have to totally be abreast. If you want to do miracles right now, you have to totally be abreast of working with the laws of the cosmos, which is what we give on these shows and on iTunes and YouTube and so on. And we regularly send out, so please join our email list. We send out question and answers on our email list. But I'm trying to keep everybody as updated with our electronic books and so on as much as I can. If you understand the laws, you can understand how to do miracles. It doesn't mean that miracles that could be done by people 10 years ago, that those same people can still do them. Because at some point those laws would have ceased, and if they don't know what the new ones are because they were handed that knowledge down, say through lineages of sorcerers or something, they may be totally at a loss now. You know, I recently had an email from somebody that is an indigenous person, and they were trying to expound the virtues of this one teacher that Shirley MacLaine and many people have gone to in Canada, you know. All they could list for me is what this person could do. You know, they didn't list one time what this person could see. They're a whole different ballgame. Working with the spirit world, and even having a spirit ally with certain gifts, can make you seem extremely advanced. In what? In what you can do, not in who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's a crucial distinction that is not very clear for many people out there. Thank you.
No. And see, they focus on the unknown. The masters, currently ascended masters. I mean, we have masters from Uzbekistan, from the Caucasus, from Poland, from South Africa, soon to be, okay, because I'm going to South Africa. There are a group of masters there that need to be called to a sacred mystical order. There are masters waiting to be called in many countries that Mother will send me to, and they'll know in their heart when it's time. But the point is, these masters' job is to make this major thrust to get the realms into one, to get Mother's city concretely here on Earth, as has been described. Can you imagine what that will do for every man, woman, and child? That is a magnificent goal. The other place people study for many years to do those, what they call cities in India, they mean nothing about the consciousness of that practitioner.
Wow, that's really important for people to hear, Almeen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
we have about a minute before we should take a commercial break. Why don't we just take it, and then we'll come back for our final segment?
Sure.
A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back now for our final segment of today's show. And Paul, have you got one more question? We have about 8 minutes left.
Sure, I mean, I was wondering, if maybe just a comment, something that you could comment on. You mentioned in your discussion about miracles, how often the left brain argues them away. And I'm just wondering if perhaps that the tendency of the left brain to need for it to maintain control might be the reason why so many people see masters as beings who are perfectly in control of their environments and their emotions, and there's no room for any kind of ups and downs in the lives that these beings live. I was just wondering if that's an accurate vision of what a master is or not, and sort of what you might think of that sort of interpretation.
Until the Earth really started a full-blown ascension in February of 2005, the best we could make of the masters that entered mastery, meaning that they had the option of a silent mind and that they no longer identified with the body, the emotions, and their thoughts. They identified with their being as vast as the cosmos. The best that we had were beings that had gone into God consciousness and in some rare instances, the ascended mastery stages. Now, in those stages, there is a tendency to be in this total placid bliss. The bliss is very deep. It's very much like a drug. It's very, very deep, and people are in this profound state, and you can stick a pin in their foot, and they don't even really care much, okay, because the bliss is so overwhelming. It's not that they are in control. It's that they are in surrender. They're totally surrendered to the bliss. Nevertheless, it is a very preliminary form of mastery, if I might say that. Because, okay, you know, even amongst the people in ego identity, there are people that are totally deluded, and there are very advanced light workers, and there are very, very advanced light workers that we will call, great teachers. But they are still in identity consciousness. So there's a whole gamut, a whole range. The same applies to mastery. There's a whole range. Let's look at that, because this I've never discussed before. The first range that you get, of course, is the God consciousness. And people in God consciousness tend to not like being around other people because they still have the tendency to get pulled out of their silence when they have to interact. When you go into ascended mastery, you don't ever get pulled out. So whether there are people or whether there are not people, you don't really even care. And there's deep, 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 deep bliss. But you are still identifying with yourself as a being as vast as the cosmos. In other words, one identity has yielded to another. And what the problem is with that state, even though it's a very vast identity, what the problem is with that state is that you don't emotionally engage with life. You know, we've mapped out these phases pretty carefully in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Journey has some of it in, and then we've got the Ring of Truth that has also some of it in. But we've got the stages are mapped out pretty clearly. Ring of Truth actually has the advanced stages beyond humanness mapped out. It has the first two phases of the God Kingdom mapped out. To be in expansion where you don't fully engage with life, with your emotions, is a form of escape. That is not a place to stay. You've got to move through it to place beyond that where you again deeply engage with your emotions. And now, once you're in the God Kingdom, you don't just have the advanced, expanded image of yourself as a being as vast as the cosmos having a human experience, though that is a profound accomplishment. But now you see yourself as everything. So you see yourself as that. You see yourself as what lies outside the cosmos. You see yourself as the body having its experience. And what that enables you to do is to actually see with multiple perspectives at once. So you can have multiple input ranges on any given event. Seeing it from the vast, what the ripple effect that it has throughout the whole cosmos, what the future is that this might have evoked as a possibility, and then you can see it from this moment, what is happening, all of it at once. It is the ideal to lose the identity of the cosmos and go even beyond that. There is never a point of arrival. And so, the masters that we have seen of these blissed out masters, it's because they got stuck. And they got stuck in those first levels of God consciousness. Maybe the first, if they end up dying, they never did get to immortality. So they're possibly in the first phase of ascended mastery. Even though they're very masterful and they can access a lot of wisdom at that time, there's something that they don't access as well as somebody in ego identification. And this is what is combined once you go into the God Kingdom. You have the benefit of both. Okay. When you see yourself as everything in the cosmos, things get put in perspective. You act from an impersonal view. That's wonderful. But it is in interaction, in the role you play on the stage, even though you know it's just a role, that the new information comes in that has never before been known. So ascended masters access the known. People in the street access the unknown. In the God Kingdom, those get combined. Paul, I think we've come to the end of our show. I hope that you have answered your question. Certainly.
Absolutely.
A good one.
Yes.
Great.
Yes,
thank you, honey, very much for joining us. Thank you, too, to our listeners. See you next time.
D. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.